Welcome back, one and all, to another edition of The Center Ring, episode 12, coming to you live, pre-recorded, from an undisclosed location. My name is Tim. I'll be one of your hosts for this show. The other host, his name is Brandon. He sits across from me. Brandon, how are you?
Doing pretty good. Pretty good. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Can't complain, man. This is episode 12. We are 3 months in, if you're looking at numbers and weekends we've done this. Who would have thought?
It actually feels like it's been a lot longer than that.
It does. It feels like we've made major progress. We went from a website change. We've been through...
But there's also just so many tournaments.
You know, we started the show with a really cool intro, and now we ditched it and just went to the song intro. So many tournaments. So many events. So many esports. Esports in your face every weekend. You can't get away from it. And this weekend was really no different. And you will hear all about it on today's show. We have, of course, the micro, which we will end the show with, which is everybody's favorite segment of little stories that we just, quite frankly, don't have the time to get to, or maybe it's just not enough meat on the bone to really warrant an entire segment too. So we will always end the show with the micro. We have Turner Broadcasting System. They released a little bit more news about their esports league, which is very cleverly named E-League. So we will discuss the new news there and kind of see where our minds are with that. You had tons, I mean, a ridiculous amount of roster moves in the last 2 weeks even. So we will discuss all of those, kind of wrap it up for you in a nice bow. But before we get to all those roster moves and what does it mean as far as Counter-Strike and where the scene is at, we kind of have to talk about the most recent tournament that happened over the weekend, because you can't talk about the roster moves before the tournament, because they kind of all happened afterwards or a little bit, you know, beforehand.
Like, yeah, like, or yeah, immediately after.
Right. So that tournament, of course, is the Fragbite Finals. It was a four-team tournament, four-team finals, if you will, there, made up of former TSM. That happened right before the tournament, which is also known as TQM right now.
Which threw everybody for a loop.
Which, you know, I'm not going to lie, when I was doing show prep, I was reading an article and I was like, why does this guy keep making a typo? Like, why does he keep typing TQM?
I had no idea. I had to Google it too.
I guess.
And then I saw it and I was like, oh, you know what? That kind of makes sense.
I guess we're not clever enough to pick up on that, because TQM stands for Team Question Mark, which was, their secret identity for this tournament. If you ever looked at the brackets and you say, who is this question mark team? That is the former TSM.
Which it was actually planned out, because their logo is a question mark with the flag as the point on the end of it.
Yes,
their
dot. Yeah, so there you go. It was very cleverly done by them. You had SK Gaming, Ninjas in Pajamas, Fnatic. So a nice little four team tournament for you over the weekend. Overall, I mean, there's not a whole lot to talk about, being that it was only a four man, but like I said, nonetheless, we're here to deliver our thoughts and opinions, and that is exactly what we're going to do. Former TSM did get fourth place. Very disappointing loss by them, but I guess kind of expected after the news of getting dropped.
Check it out. They still got $7,000.
Not bad for showing up.
No kidding. Especially if you consider how they got there.
You had, you know, Cajun B, did he played horrendously, as opposed to, I mean, really the entire team played horrendous, but Cajun B ended the tournament with a minus 20 kill to death ratio.
Cajun B.
So if that just shows you like where their mental state was at, I know, and like I said, I knew this was going to happen, because the roster moves in this tournament are all, it's going to be one big meshed up segment, but we have to do that. There's no way you can talk about one and not the other with this. When TSM, they mutually, quote unquote, agreed to drop, you know, organization agreed to drop team and vice versa. The players left the organization decided whatever, it was mutual.
Right.
But we all know from a relationship, it's never mutual, right? One side initiates it and the other side just kind of agrees, but one side initiated it before the other one. Who knows how it went on this side, but TSM getting smoked, and I say TSM as in former TSM, got smoked by Fnatic and then dominated by their countrymen in SK to officially lose the tournament or get fourth place. Not a good outing for TSM again. I mean, I don't know if you want to say they were one of the favorites going into this tournament, just given the recent news and everything, but...
Well, and the way they got to the tournament is they were invited as one of the two most recent Fragbite champions, so they had won one of the previous Fragbite Masters seasons. So, yeah, I mean, you come into this as an invite, you know, team and then perform that poorly, and I believe one of the players even... tweeted out afterwards about it being one of the most embarrassing losses they've ever had.
And I mean, yes, they did tweet that, and can you argue with them? I mean, again, you went into a four-man tournament even. You're one of the favorites. Obviously, Fnatic was a favorite here, but I mean, you're again at least top four going in, right? So
there's no reason to lose to SK Gaming.
No, there's not.
Absolutely,
I mean,
not. You should be top three.
It's hard to pick a favorite going into a four-man final, but at the same time, I mean, you are TSM, former TSM, right? You're the same guys. You're the same core group. What happened?
It had to have been where
they mentally weren't there.
I can't, you know, so for what I've gathered... that TSM isn't exactly the best organization to work for. Like, there's been a lot of complaints from former players about communication, and it's nowhere near the level of NIP drama, but still kind of, you know, not the greatest, especially if you're working for an American organization and you're a European team. Time difference makes it even all that much worse. So you would think going into something like this, they would at least have some, like, you know, like some pressure off their shoulders. Like, you're playing for yourself now.
Exactly, and then you had their countrymen, SK Gaming, ended up in third place, which in all honesty was, I mean, it was a shock to many people that they were even here, because they had to beat G2 to get there, so it was a shock that they were there, let alone getting third. So they went home with a clean 10,000-ish. I mean, they were, again, there always seems to be a team in every one of these tournaments that always ends it to where you can say they were kind of playing with house money at some point. After beating, you know, former TSM, I think at that point you can say whatever happens, happens. You might have even been able to say that before the weekend, just them being there, that this can only be good for them. And again, go into more detail, but apparently it wasn't, because apparently they were like, they got the taste of being a top three team, and now they have to mix things up. You had... the finals of the Fragbite finals going between Fnatic and Ninjas in Pajamas.
Now, which finals are we talking about?
So, and this is going to be my beef here. So I know in last episode, I actually made the point of, man, why aren't there any third place like matches in these games? It drives me insane that we don't have a definitive first, second, third. And that's always the case, because you have like winner brackets and loser brackets and double elimination, so it's hard to do that, unless you just get two teams to play in between the finals, I guess, which I think that's how you should do it. I think you should have the first and second team place teams take a game off and have another team play a best of three to give.
Yeah, we talked about that, right? It was Luminosity that one time, having to play back to back. Yeah.
They went from, you know, semis to finals just within the next match. So it seems silly to me that you're supposed to be asking these guys to play at their top of their game, and yet they don't have any time just to mentally chill out and strategize. But then you have this goofy tournament where it wasn't double elimination, but they did have the loser's bracket. So you had, in the winner bracket final, Fnatic and NIP. NIP beat Fnatic, so Fnatic moved down to the loser's final, where they beat SK. So SK was eliminated. Fnatic was able to move on to the grand finals, which was the winner of the winner's final and the loser final, and that's where they had a rematch with Ninjas.
Yeah, and what's even worse is like their round scores were exactly opposite. Like, I feel like just because they were basically 1-1, both of them. You have to play a third game to decide the winner on that. If it would have been SK Gaming, who Fnatic eliminated in the losers finals, to send them to third place, if it would have been NiP versus SK Gaming, I don't think I would have had as big a problem with it. But, I mean, NiP lost, what is that, $12,000 going from first to second place and essentially having the same record as Fnatic.
Right. You had
a better record.
You had every other team here in this tournament, in this finals, lose one game except for, or I guess they had a chance to lose one and then continue playing on.
Yeah, NiP only
and then
was
you had
able
NiP
to lose one.
Who lost one, and then it was like, sorry, Charlie, you're done. It's time to go home. And it just doesn't make sense to me why, typically in this type of scenario, if it was a true double elimination tournament, they would have all this going on. So NiP hasn't lost one. They made it all the way to the grand finals. They would get another shot if they were to lose the first best of three.
I don't know.
I guess I don't understand it.
I really have to assume it was just because of time's sake.
But I mean, before the show and everything, we were really trying to wrap our heads around the bracket and seeing what.
Well, I mean,
I don't know what you call this.
Fragbite in general has done some. I mean, like, so their Fragbite Masters Champion Showdown, which is how Fnatic qualified for the finals here, was basically just a 5-map match between Fnatic and TSM as the two previous Fragbite winners. And each map was worth a prize pool. So they even it was a best of five. Fnatic won 4 of the 5, but because there's prize pool, they play all 5 maps. And whatever map you win, you get the prize pool for that. I mean, I kind of like that setup as far as
it's
making money for the team.
I was going to say it's a
but,
neat
But I mean,
kind
once again,
different.
It's something so kind of random and out there. It's almost like they're doing stuff just to be different.
And I don't think I like it. I don't think I've decided I don't like different. I still think the best way to go is a single elimination best of three.
All the way through.
All the way through. You lose, you go home. I think that is the best way to go. Not saying that Fnatic didn't deserve it. I mean, Ulfmeister alone probably deserved the victory when he ended the entire tournament going a positive 27 in the KD category. And then not to mention, this is Fnatic's second victory in a row with their new roster.
Oh, with Dennis, yeah.
Yes, so if there was any question in anybody's mind, I mean, is this the honeymoon, quote-unquote honeymoon stage still? I don't think so. I mean, everyone's saying this, but remember, Dennis has played with these guys before.
I don't feel like, I mean, Dennis is a good player, but I don't feel like Dennis is such a great player that he could cause some kind of, well, like what'd you call honeymoon period with a team. I mean, he's only one guy on a team of five. And I don't think he is good enough to like single-handedly confuse NiP
and, really,
and TSM and SK Gaming.
In my opinion, too, before even Pronax left Fnatic, I don't think Fnatic really needed to change to begin with. So that, again, I think goes back to your point where does one guy really make that big of a difference, especially on a team like Fnatic where they're already so strong?
See, I think that's the difference. Like Fnatic, between Ulfmeister and Krims, I mean, those two guys together kind of will overshadow just about. You can take away the other two or add whoever you want. And you have, if you have those two guys, they're going to overshadow most of the competition. So
I agree. And one thing that I think looking here, just at the whole bracket and everything here for the Fragbite finals, and I don't know if you notice this, but looking at it, second glance, all four of these teams, Fnatic, Ninjas in Pajamas, SK Gaming, former TSM, have all gone through some form of roster change within the last 3 to 4 weeks.
If that, yeah. Well, yeah, because of Dennis on Fnatic.
Yeah,
yeah,
you had
right.
Dennis on Fnatic. You have, and you know what? Let's just jump into it here. You have Alu leaving NiP. You have Pimp joining SK. And then, of course, the whole organization of TSM. So to kind of move over into the roster moves, in CSGO, I mean, the scene is constantly changing. It seems like after every tournament, some team is either trigger happy. I think it's trigger happy, but some are trying to make that one roster move difference.
Well, if you look at, I mean, NiP and Fnatic are the two teams that are the closest thing to like a steady roster. And it, and now that it's, this is the closest thing Counter-Strike has to an off season is like December 3rd to December 31st. Like there's tournaments starting almost immediately in January. So it makes sense that some of the roster moves are happening now. But like you look at the comments on Reddit on the SK Gaming thread, they're like, oh, it's, you know, SK Gaming's monthly roster change. And that's not something you should be known for, in my opinion.
Look, I think, and this isn't just in CSGO, I think this is esports in general. And maybe this is where a player union or contract, like stronger contracts, will help. There is no other media or however you want to say it, source of professional that changes their roster so many times and is so trigger happy in the sense of if you have like a down 6 months, you're basically guaranteed to be on the chopping block. If you have a down 3 months, then you're rumored to being what's wrong. Because think about it, in 3 months, you can almost have 5 tournaments out of the 8 weeks, or you know, however, like out of 12 weeks, that would be in 3 months.
And, well, you know,
there could be five significant tournaments that could decide your fate on a team.
And in my opinion, I think that's actually a lot, that issue is created a lot by players. I mean, if you even look at like when we were playing Halo or Rainbow Six, or even when we started playing Counter-Strike, if we ever tried to make a team and then somebody just like stopped playing for a couple days or something, you'd get somebody new, right? So you would do whatever it took to try and make that next step. And I think the orgs are, you know, the orgs are built by people that grew up playing the games. There's no reason if you have 2 down months and you don't win, you know, the prize pools, if you can add somebody just by buying out a contract, we've conditioned that, you know, everybody to do that. Little
what,
psychology
what
101 for esports.
Thing, do you
no,
think that's
I don't,
a good
I don't think
thing.
It's a good thing at all. I really would, I wish people would stick together and learn to like build a team and play as a team, you know, watching Mighty Ducks growing up, a bunch of ragtag guys get together in the underdog story and then they win. That's what I would like to see. But if you're not making money, you can't do that. You can't put in the time. And that's why you see teams like G2 who are basically used as like a stepping stone to the big teams. Like you perform well in G2 who can pay for your travel and your hotel. And then you get a salary with Fnatic. You know, and then you get, you know, the big endorsement deal or I say big esports, you know. There's just no reason for anybody to stay on a team right now.
Well, and then you have guys like Pimp who left Dignitas back in like a month ago. What month are we in? He left early November, I believe. And then you have where he kind of took that calculated risk where I would say Pimp leaving Dignitas. I mean, he was one of the top guys on Dignitas. He was kind of a crowd favorite as far as anyone on Dignitas can be. So he left that team, and then he ended up just recently announced a couple days ago where he was joining SK Gaming as Cadian is now being demoted or at least moved. I don't know if demoted is the right word because we don't know the details of it, but he is now in a reserved player slot.
Effectively, he got benched. Means, you know, he's never going to play again or what, but basically that means they have him under contract, but he's not playing.
And I can't imagine, I have to imagine that's partially his idea, or I mean, I guess if he's on contract and they don't want to buy him out, so maybe it's cheaper in the long run just to keep him on the roster as a reserved player?
Well, it might be cheaper or they haven't found anybody that wants to pay for his contract to buy him out. Like, so, you know, you can buy players sort of like EPL does. But, I mean, if you even look at Cadian's HLTV.org page, his photo's him commentating. And I kind of feel like that kind of said a lot about about him as a player.
If you're a CSGO pro and your one profile picture is you behind the
the analyst desk. I was like, you know, that probably means you don't get a whole lot of screen time behind the computer. So
another minor move, but I felt like we should bring it up, especially being North American. Conquest's coach, Paulie, he does step down from the organization after, again, the ever vague mutual agreement to leave. And this is after Conquest kind of had that big top four finish at the SEVO finals. I guess this is where we see, and we've discussed it before, how much difference does a coach really make? Are they even going to worry about adding another coach? I feel like as an esport, especially one for Conquest, your budget's probably already tight as is. Why are you even having a coach on the team? I don't think you need one. Again, these guys have grown up playing this game forever, and it's not something like football or anything. Unless your coach is your, what I think they should be, your shot caller, I don't see the point in having one. And I don't, again, this is a very minor thing, but since we're on the topic of roster moves, I wanted to bring it up.
I mean, if you have to cut salary, I totally agree. Coach, in this environment, a coach is the first place that you go. There's not enough a coach can bring to a table. The coaches are just players that weren't as good as the other players at this point. Like, people are talking about, you know, Sean Garris or maybe Pronax or something going into a coaching role. And at that point, I think I could understand it. But the people that are coaches, I mean, when Liquid was at RGN. I called it RNG the entire time.
I know.
The RGN land. They had their analytics guy that basically just made spreadsheets for him on like what teams map vetoed and stuff as their coach. He's not really coaching. He's kind of just back there cheering on the team.
But I could see that at least being more useful too, as far as if your coach is your analytic guy, where he has the paperwork and the numbers and the clipboard for information that the players don't need to remember. You know,
yeah, and I say
the players need to remember, you know, smokes and strategies and everything like that. If the coach has the clipboard on being like, okay, in this situation, this is typically the pattern they go with. You know, if they're down by three, typically they will force buy. Okay, or should we expect a force buy right now?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think if they have that kind of information available, it's great for the players. But I mean, if a coach is all a coach is doing is saying, you know, all right, guys, go B this time, or, you know, hard B push, or making.
And with no actual analytics to back it up.
And I don't understand, like, if a coach is there to make decisions or calls, like when I play and I die, the first thing in my mind is to call out where I died from and what I saw. Like, is a coach expected to, like, also do that? Or I mean, I don't understand what a coach can provide that one of the other players sitting there with you watching the screen could provide.
Right. I think if I had a coach, I'd want him to be more of the analytical side of like, hey, let's you remember the things that I don't or shouldn't have to remember.
Right.
And that's where I would go from there. But moving on to some of the bigger moves, and this happened right before Fragbite, TSM, the organization, mutually came to terms with the players of TSM to part ways. Mainly the reason stated by the organization TSM was, I mean, they're based out of Los Angeles, California in America, and it was too much to communicate with, you know, the Danish on a regular basis, the one that they felt like the players deserved, which, coming from someone who lives in America, I can relate as far as the time zone difference.
Yeah, well, and this was
it is weird. It's weird timing.
Well, this was rumored to have actually been starting a while back. Like, there was some like unrest between, what do you even call this? Like their team manager. So like a guy that like handled all the travel details, getting them checked in and out of hotels, on the flights at the right time, you know. I mean, like a team mom, like,
right. Yeah, it's a manager. I mean, think of, and this is the way I think of roster moves, where, in like how you said it before, it's like you're all just friends and you're constantly moving around. It's almost like a band. Think of it like a 5-man band, and you're trying to start out and you're constantly switching guys out, or you're constantly, it's just five guys hanging out all the time and you're probably getting sick of each other.
Yeah.
So it's really easy to tell one F off, and you know, you have your manager.
Well, yeah, and then you get into a situation like Nip that goes on and wins a bunch of tournaments, and you know, when you're winning, things are great. You don't mind really like hanging around a douchebag every once in a while because you can go make some money with him. But I mean, the TSM move, there was like, they actually brought in that manager themselves. They told TSM, like, this guy comes with us. TSM wanted him to do all this social media stuff that he didn't want to do, apparently. And then that's when it kind of started breaking down. And then at that point, TSM was like, we're done. Or, I mean, the players were like, we're done.
So again, though, so this is not anything performance-based, right?
Not from anything I found. It was
no sources that I have found.
I mean,
that
they were ranked as like one of the top three teams in the world.
Right. And again, I think,
if you're TSM, you don't get rid of a top three team.
No, like even if they are struggling getting out of semifinals and like kind of dropping the ball and choking on tournaments that they should probably be winning or being at least top two, making it to the finals, you keep them around, right? Like having a top four team is not a bad problem to have.
No, and I don't understand how TSM couldn't have been a little more, I don't know. Like I said, I don't think they're going to be able to replace that team.
Especially if they're looking for an American team. What American, the only thing that I can think of is TSM is a very big organization and they could possibly buy out some players.
They did say they were looking for a team based in LA, right? I think that's what I read.
They're based out of LA. They're looking for an American team. Whether or not that's people in America that they're willing to move to LA or outsiders. Because this is the thing too. Thorne brought up the fact that, you know, NA basically, and this is not a direct quote, but he basically brought up the fact that NA has no room to complain about poor team when all these free agents are out there and we're not bringing them in, like Pimp or right now, and we haven't talked about it, but Alu for Nip.
And I wonder if that's a bit of a nationality thing, like, or I think that's pride, national pride.
North Americans want North Americans on their team.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the Winter Fox experiment, that didn't work out so well. I mean, they never had like super top-notch players, but nobody really follows Winter Fox as a North American team.
Well, and how many European players want to be on an American team and vice versa? I mean, I remember when the rumors kind of first started circulating where Get Right was going to come to Cloud9, which I feel like that's more so a rumor now as a bit. I don't think it's a real rumor anymore.
Oh, he squashed it today on Twitter. Anyway, okay. Yeah.
So, do teams really want to be on a team where someone is in Europe and the rest of the guys are in North America? I feel like that would cause just as much issue. And furthermore, does this 20-something-year-old who lives in Europe want to move to North America? Even if TSM is like, hey, you know, Alu, we'll pay for you. Come live in this gaming house in LA and it will be great. Does he really want to make that life change?
You know, from Counter-Strike perspective, why would you want to leave a place where the competition is so top-notch and so much better
travel alone in Europe is better.
Yeah, and the Counter-Strike's better. I mean, why would you want to come over here and play North American teams knowing that it's weaker competition?
Like, right.
You will literally never get better playing these people.
Not knowing what's going on behind closed doors. I think you can't just point the fingers at North American organizations saying, why aren't you going after these guys? A, they might be some communications going on involved that we don't know about. And B, they might just think, like how you said, like, it's just, there's no reason to come here
other than money.
Right. Unless they're just going to throw money at these European players, it's not going to be worth it for them or for the organization because they could move them over here and it could completely blow up in their face and everything like that. But then the players of TSM, they're also looking for a European organization. So,
and they learned their lesson.
Well, and then I guess that's our point, right?
Yeah.
Why aren't these North American organizations going after European players? Well, an American organization just dropped a team of full European players. So because underlining issue was being time zone difference, it was just difficult doing business. I mean, imagine it's difficult planning a trip for yourself. Now just imagine planning a trip for five dudes who live across the world.
Like, you can only talk to them at like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning.
I think the claim of North America just not making the push for European players is a bit broad. It's a bit broad. But now how they think they're going to find five American players to even compare. I mean, they're going to maybe that's where Sean Garris ends up, right?
I don't think Sean Garris is leaving Cloud Nine. Cloud Nine is a...
You think they want to keep him in the organization?
Well, he announced shortly after that he was going to be broadcasting, doing some casting stuff. And I think that's kind of coach casting. I think he's going to become one of the media personalities.
It would make sense because he is a American poster boy as far as CSGO goes. That's not weird.
That was odd, yeah.
So that makes sense there.
He'll be the best thing to come out of North American Counter-Strike in a while.
Right. And then you have the other very big news that dropped today. And that is Alu steps down from Ninjas in Pajamas. His tweet said starting 2016.
Well, that's after the contract ends.
Right. Yeah. So he just announced that he's not renewing his contract. So they'll play out the rest of 2015, what little we have left, whatever matches, whatever little tournaments they're going to do there. Very broad announcement. Just that he's not going to sign again.
The rumor mill saying he's going to go and find some of his old Finnish buds from 3D Max and start a new team, which everybody doesn't really understand why, because he's like, Alu, you're pretty good. Those other guys, not so much.
Well, I mean, you know, isn't that why Dennis left G2, is to go play with friends? So maybe we're just not... Well, I mean, okay, yes, you can't...
When your friends are on Fnatic, it's a little bit easier to go play with them.
True. Okay. Point taken. But maybe we're just not, you know, maybe he's happy with just playing Counter-Strike professionally, right?
Yeah, I mean,
he's like, I'm God Alu. I can do...
Just don't bring Bot Alu. No, but I guess with a retirement, like an average retirement age of 23 years old, you're not really thinking like a long-term career gaming, right? So you might as well enjoy it. Play with your friends, win a round of Fragbite Masters and make $7,000, or lose all four rounds and make $7,000. So
you just hope this isn't like behind closed doors, performance driven, or the other guys. I don't think it is, because NIP, I felt like we're actually getting along great. And even looking at it, I mean, they were top four at DreamHack Cluj. They were top eight at Cologne. They got second at Katowice and second at the Fragbite Masters. I mean, they were not playing poorly, even though, believe it or not, this was their down year. Like, people are saying, like, oh, 2015 was the dark year for Ninjas in Pajamas. Is getting top eight really, like, being...
Top eight or better in every like, big tournament?
Yeah, like, so if you got top eight or higher in any relevant tournament, is that really a down year? Like, is that really, like, oh, my God, what is happening to us? Which is kind of funny, because the talking heads, that's what they all kept saying, and all the players on NIP was making that exact joke of, like, oh, no. Like, well, damn, I guess we got top four. Time to blow up the team. What are we going to do making top four? You don't have to win every tournament to be a successful team.
No, but that just calls into question the entire reason why he's leaving. Is it because of the management issues and the payment issues that, you know, were rumored? I mean, I'm interested to see how long it takes for him to, if anyone's even asking him why he's leaving, other than he just doesn't want to play for NIP anymore. I mean,
well, once again,
why are you leaving a top 10 team? Like,
they haven't even announced any replacements since we started the show today anyway. So you still have, that leaves Forest, Get Right, Freiburg, and Exist, all with a contract ending at this year.
I'm still standing by my earlier predictions. Get Right's going to be the last one left.
We only have a few weeks to see, because their contracts do end, and the CEO said there will be no roster changes until the end of the year, which technically is still correct, because, you know, Alu did say he was going to stay till 2016.
Yep.
So again, roster moves everywhere, and they're not even done yet, because, like I said, NIP still has an open slot, and who knows who's going to take that. Cloud9 has an open slot. Who's going to take that? You have Mo subbing in for Liquid. That will be a permanent position. And you will be a fan of a team with Mo on it. How does that make you feel? Would you return your Liquid shirt if Mo became a permanent member of Team Liquid?
Do you think they'd take it if I've already worn it? Look, like, what if I send it back with a return label, like, I can't support Mo?
They should honor that request, because not many people can support Mo. Again, so So we'll keep a close eye on all those roster moves. But something else that came down the line that all these teams are going to have to get their rosters in order pretty soon, because I'd assume for a prize pool as big as this one, you want a solid team or at least teamwork if you wanted to stand a chance. And that is Turner Broadcasting's E-League. They finally announced a name, and that is E-League.
So there's, I don't...
That is what all the marketing people, team of a multi-billion-dollar company came up with. All these people
you could talk to. Like, if you would have said, hey, what do you guys think about E-League? I cannot imagine more than, like, two people saying, oh, yeah, that's pretty good. No, everybody hates the, like, E-athlete.
I was going to say, are we beaten down by putting an E in front of everything?
Like, I don't even like esports. I wish we would come up with something that doesn't have like an E or the word sports in it.
Are we beaten down by the generic E? I feel like a lot of people don't even realize like what it stands for. It's just like, all right, so you're an E.
Well, it's like some
E-gamer.
Yeah,
it's you're like, an E gamer. Like,
that's it. I'm gonna make a death to the E. I'm not even gonna have an E in the word death.
So it's called
T-shirt.
Called E-League. Take it for what you will. It's really not the most creative one, but
so we were talking
it's really
about
minor details when you're looking at that.
We're talking about European players not wanting to come over to good old America without some money. How does a 2 10-week seasons with each season being worth $1.2 million sound for some money?
That would probably convince some of them to get a gaming house, right? Like, you probably get it. Where is this playing out at? Out of Atlanta?
Yep. Atlanta, yeah.
You could probably get some nice land out there.
But they also, I mean, I guess they just have to be based in North America. Because, like, you know, Turner said they're going to try and work around the other major tournaments. So, I mean, you know, how about team question mark? Just come over, shack up in Atlanta, win some millions of dollars.
So what if TQM moves to America? Would TSM pick them back up? That would be like a no-brainer, right? Unless there was underlining
issues. I don't think they take TSM back. I don't even think they'll take the sponsorship back.
You don't think so?
I don't think so, man. I don't know. I don't think so.
That would have to be a convincing other organization buying them out if they didn't want to do that. But either way, so I guess you have the details in front of you. Give us more of the dirt.
So
on
what
this.
Actually came up today or was announced in the past couple of days is the E-League is putting on what we've compared to the preseason of a regular season in sport. They're putting on a tournament with Face It that culminates in a one game at the Consumer Electronics Show, CES, in Las Vegas in January? Yeah, so open qualifiers. Yeah, it's in January. Open qualifiers are going to take place. There's going to be two ways. There's going to be open qualifiers that take place between December 12th and 13th online, and then closed invite-only tournament with six top pro teams. And the finals are going to be played by one European team and one North American team. So North America and European have their own set of qualifiers.
That's interesting. I mean,
and then at the Las Vegas thing,
they've done before, but I feel like eventually they're always mingle somewhere in loser brackets. Actually, you're telling this is guaranteed European versus
North American. Yeah. So North America has their own qualifiers
and Luminosity.
and Luminosity.
<It's> North America and Luminosity.
And European has their own qualifiers. Feel like they're trying to do the NA versus EU hype that thing up, especially because Turner wants their league to be North American based. But it's not going to end well. Why anyone thinks the North American team is going to compete is beyond me. I mean, we don't even have a North American team with a solid roster right now.
We have Liquid doing subs. We got Cloud9 only having four guys.
we don't even have a solid roster in here right now.
TSM is looking for five. The North American scene is in shambles. And here's Turner like, hey,
let's do NA versus EU. I mean, I would not even be surprised to see Conquest going up against some, you know, Fnatic.
So you have all this then. That all kind of morphs. That's kind of like we said, it's kind of the preseason. I feel like that's Turner getting their feet wet in esports, probably a smart idea.
I totally agree.
To have warm-up tournaments on their fence, because, I mean, you'll even hear it from broadcasters like in NFL in preseason saying, we need it just as bad as the players to get in the swing of the broadcast, you know, knock the rust off, especially for them since it's their first time. I mean, that they're going to have a real production team on this.
Yeah, and that's what I think it totally is they're working their own kinks out, you know, so that they can get ready for the real thing coming up next year.
So I definitely agree with this little mini starter tournament. And you, like you said, the real one, the real 10-week one, that starts...
middle of 2016.
Okay, so that one starts further into 2016, where every Friday night, I believe, I don't know if that's a solid start, but that was what they reported.
So right now, they're going to stream all of the games.
On Twitch.
And then each Friday, they're going to have an hour-long broadcast on television. I have absolutely no idea what they're going to put on it.
Because, I did not hear this hour limit
thing. Well, it was like, that's reported hour-long. I mean,
they're going to have to change that unless they're running no commercials, because even in CSGO, they warn you that it could take up to 90 minutes for a single map anyways.
Well, the game that happens on Friday won't be live.
Oh, that's disappointing. I didn't know that news. That's kind of upsetting. That kind of ruins the fun out of all of it.
And again, this is kind of rumored, all reported, you know, bits and pieces of news being put together. I was hoping it was going to be like a live match on Friday, you know, of two select teams. I mean, they're not going to have a whole lot of teams in the league. You can probably put any two up there. I'm really concerned that they're going to make, especially with them streaming all the content, they're going to make that television show completely redundant, like where you don't even need to watch it to know what's going on.
It's going to like pull in that week's highlights or something like a recap of the week's matches, which I'll watch it because I want to support esports on TV, because I truly believe that is where, if you want the future of esports to go, and yes, I'm a little biased being in the media in general, but I do think that's where esports needs to be. That is upsetting that it is rumored to not be live.
And a lot of people are comparing it to like poker tournaments, like watching poker tournaments on television. I don't really know poker a whole lot. Like, I know like the basic hands, but I've never sat down and really played it for any kind of, you know, measurable amount of money. I can't watch poker because I have no idea what's going on, and they can show people's hands in their pots, and you know, unless you have a commentator that can like really explicitly explain the story and what's going on right then and there, I'm completely lost. It hasn't made me want to play any poker, and I'm worried esports is going to go that same way, and the only people that are going to want to watch the highlights are people that are already watching all the streams anyway.
If they're just showing highlights and going off of that, kind of like a almost like a sports center for esports, I do think that's going to be a terrible mistake. They need to, I really, and like I said, I always thought they should have given it the respect that they give NBA or any other sports that they do, like baseball, to where they dedicate the time to do an actual pregame, postgame. You don't even need like an hour-long pregame. Do like a 15-minute pregame of,
these
are
down.
The teams, these are the players. You have to let the public know that these aren't kids sitting on their couch playing video games, because that's what the public thinks. The public thinks esports is just a bunch of kids playing video games on their couch. They don't realize the work that goes into it or how much their family supports them in doing it.
Right. I would like to see like a 3-hour, I mean, that's if I think about like a hockey game or something, or a football game, you know, like a 3-hour broadcast that has half an hour of recap and highlights of like what happened on the streams in the previous weeks, and then a live match commentating, pre-game, post-game, maybe mid-game commentating for a break or something. And I really think you need that to get anyone that's not already interested in esports. Because like you said, you need to be able to show them like, this is, you know, these are people, this is really what they do for a living. They put all this time and effort into it. They have skills that your average person doesn't have. And that's the kind of stuff they need to show. But I just don't see how you're going to give something 3 hours on a Friday night and expect people to stick with it either. Like, if it's on Friday night at like 8 o'clock.
Well, and that's exactly why they're doing it on Friday night, though, because Friday is one of the worst nights to have a show on, because no one's sitting at home watching TV on a Friday night. They're all out doing stuff, yep, or at least wanting to get with friends and hang out. So I think that's why they're putting it on Friday night, which is testing the waters, which, hey, okay, that's fine. You don't need to have it competing against Monday Night Football by any means. But an hour? Like,
that's reported. With, that's not guaranteed.
With commercials, that's going to be awful if that's the case. Another thing that I know people are always kind of saying, like, this isn't going to work on TV because people can just watch it on their computer. You can watch a lot of things on your computer that work out on TV. You know, HBO has their new online features. People still watch all their shows on TV. You can watch sports on the computer. You don't even, there's a lot of people who don't have cable, and I totally get that. But there's also a lot of people that do. So I think, again, putting this out there as a legit source of income and entertainment for people, I think that will attract a lot of the either new watchers or casual watchers. But as far as who's producing this, that's another big announcement Turner had, correct?
Well, that's just for the upcoming tournament.
Okay,
with CES.
So it's just
for now. Face, it's just that
what we're talking about is Turner announced a partnership with Face It.
Face It and IMG, which is a company that puts on esports events. There was a lot of talk about SIVO kind of being upset that they weren't involved, especially because Face It is not North American. Pretty sure it's a European based company. Anyway, talking about keeping it in house in America. But IMG has been doing this stuff for so long. I don't even know if it was Turner wanting to work with Face It as much as it was Turner wanting to work with IMG to put on the tournaments.
So we'll only have to see. We only have to wait a month or so before we can start seeing some production level there, at least to see what we can expect from Turner, to see if there's even going to be a difference between watching one that is put on by an actual TV company, to see if the production value changes in any way, to see if there's an actual format, or to see if it's just going to be like every old ESL SIVO match or Face It match. We don't know who the broadcast team is. If it's Face It, I think it's safe to assume it's probably going to be some of their guys.
DDK and James Bardolph.
Right. All, again, like how you said, not American, but do people care about that at all? I don't know if people even care. I don't even think people will notice. So
I don't think people will notice about it either.
But either way, I'm sure we will have all those answers come January. But let's move on here from Turner and everything like that onto the micro. How's that some production level for you, Turner?
You almost look frustrated that you have to do it that way.
I should just make an intro for it, but you know, it's only the only segment that we do every episode.
This true. It's
so
our only reoccurring.
Yeah, for that?
It's our only reoccurring segment.
I have intros for other one-time hit wonders. Reoccurring segments? Forget it. So a big thing that we actually, when I say we, I mean the world, had this weekend was Capcom Cup 2015. It is, I believe, the third one. I think it started in 2013, where Capcom puts on this big show for Street Fighter IV. It's has the top competitors in the game all gather to do this, you know, tournament and everything. This year it was partnered with the PlayStation Experience, so you had a lot of people there for it. Actually a very good crowd that turned up. Kazunoko ended up winning it all. He actually took home the biggest prize pool for, I believe, you can tweet me if I'm wrong on this, the biggest prize pool ever in any fighting game tournament.
I think I read the same thing.
Is it Street Fighter? Okay, for any fighting game tournament. And that would be $120,000 for one dude. CSGO,
he's not splitting that up with any teammates.
No, CSGO doesn't get that for an entire team sometimes. This bro got it for just him. Okay, let's compare it. Fnatic, 5 guys on the team. They just won $26,000.
Yep.
At Fragbite. This bro won $120,000. Now, keep in mind, Fragbite's not a major or anything, and this is the world championship, And they also have Capcom putting up the money for it, so that can also make a difference. But
it was it crowdfunded at all? No, the Capcom Cup one.
No.
Okay, I was thinking of something else. Go ahead.
Yep. So Kazunoko ended up defeating Daigo Umehara in the finals there. Daigo was actually, he is actually thought of to be one of the top of, you know, Street Fighter players out there, number one in the world and everything. This is despite Kazunoko, you know, beating him twice in this tournament. Twice. So he beat him, forced him down to losers, and then beat him again in the grand finals.
See, I'm okay if somebody wins first place like that.
Right. If you want to take it all the way from A to Z without losing, hey, more power to you and everything there. So all that being said, you had Snake Eyes. Oh, what were you going to say?
No, go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, Snake Eyes.
Yeah, so Snake Eyes, top finishing American. He ended up being tied for fifth place. So Street Fighter isn't the biggest American scene. Not going to lie to you. There was only a handful of them in there. Snake Eyes ended up being eliminated in the loser bracket by Daigo. What can you do? The finals were made up of two Japanese guys. You had Korea is a big factor here. China, basically any Asian nation is big at these fighting tournaments. For whatever reason, America has not grasped onto it as much as I would like.
Well, it's even worse than, I mean, you used to get kind of made fun of for playing Counter-Strike with a team of five, but at least you had a team of five to kind of have, you know, hang out with or whatever. Fighting games, like you said, it's just you. Like, if you don't have a community, you know, in your local area.
And they're terrible online.
Yeah, well, I've never seen a fighting game well executed online.
They're finally making them better, but even then, man, you just, for a fighting game, you just need every reaction time and no latency whatsoever.
They're looking at like single frames of animation.
I mean, I voiced my frustration to you last night. I play Street Fighter 4. I am terrible at it, but I own it and I play it and I have my own fighting stick. You know, I have a nice little, it's a Hori 4, I think is what it is. And, you know, it's very cool. But, man, I do not pull off the combos like they do. And it's because it's so time specific and everything there. But this tournament, what I love about all fighting tournaments, no matter what game it is, you have the intense comebacks where one person is like on the, death is gripping them. He's pulling them down. And then somehow they find a way out of it. Daigo actually had one of those moments here. So he was fighting, I have his name here, give me a second, I don't know, I wish I knew. Infiltration. He was fighting Infiltration. Infiltration had Daigo down to, I kid you not, you see this piece of paper in my hand, I mean less than the width of this piece of paper.
His health bar. Yeah,
we'll put it in the show notes. You can go to our website tcr.gg and look at the show notes, so you can actually see the video. I have the audio here and I want to play it, but it really doesn't do justice to just how insane it was. So here's this audio.
Infiltration got no way at the moment of chipping him out from there.
Oh! Oh! Oh my days! Mr. B!
Oh! Oh! He's got the setup!
Oh!
Infiltration just shakes his head from side to side. Daigo showing no emotion as always.
Umehara!
Routine stuff for Daigo.
All 4 meters spent, and rightfully so. He moves into, is this match point, Logan?
Match point right now for Daigo.
So there you go. I mean, just, you heard it in the audio. Just,
I feel like if I, just his excitement made me want to like get up. Like if that was me playing that game and I did that, there's no way I could show no emotion.
And it was, I mean,
just dead stare. Yeah.
You wouldn't, if you didn't know which player was which, just by knowing the, you know, what they look like, if you've never seen them before, you would have no idea which player was which, because one looks completely shocked that he just lost the fight, and the other one, you can't eat, I mean, nothing. It's crazy. It is, though, to move on, and then we can move on to your contribution to the micro, though, it is the last tournament, Capcom Cup, I should say, for Street Fighter 4. So it is the swan song. The game's been around for ages, 7 years.
Street Fighter 5 is coming out.
It's coming soon, out February of 2016. So CEO of Capcom did come out there. He did say, or the executive producer of Street Fighter, excuse me, he did come out there and say that this is the last tournament or Capcom Cup for Street Fighter 4. Next year, it will be Street Fighter 5, and that's going to kick off in March. That's when the Pro League is going to start again. March 2016. So right after, it's going to basically give guys a month to prep on 5, even though I'm pretty sure top pros will probably get their hands on it beforehand, because that's how life works when you're a top pro.
I've seen streamers get games, just streamers get games months before
right.
they're even close to release.
Mm-hmm. And he did announce, so, that it is going to have a $500,000 prize pool.
Oh, so they're going to double it right away.
So they are, I mean, they are not, awesome. Capcom is not messing around with Street Fighter. They really, I think, they see the potential of making it, I mean, the top echelon into actually breaking those fighting games, I think, into more of a mainstream esports. Because it seems like fighting games, unless there's a big tournament like this going on, there's just no love
for them. No, nobody really talks about them, yeah.
So I can't wait for Capcom 5 or Street Fighter 5 tournaments at Capcom, but I sure am going to miss Street Fighter 4.
So kind of actually along the lines of Capcom, Team YP unveiled a special Capcom Cup 2015 jersey. In response to Capcom saying, you can't have your team's name on your jersey because your team's name is synonymous with adult entertainment. Team YP actually released images and had a jersey for their players. I think they had two in the tournament, neither of which made it. Val Master, I believe, made it to the bracket stage.
Right, yeah. Team YP, anyway, they didn't make it too far in.
But the jersey had their logo, and on the team's name, where the team's name would normally be, was just a pixelated colors akin to what you might see when pornography is censored in Japan. It was very entertaining.
I can't blame Capcom for censoring it, especially since, I mean, you know, those Asian markets aren't really prone to pornography. Even their own porn is blurred out. So I hear, you know, I've never seen a blurred out Asian porn myself.
I don't think they do that here.
But I mean, you know, I guess that's the risk. That's the risk you run when you're a porn industry trying to break it into to normal world.
And actually, thanks to a user on Reddit who goes by the name of Mohawk Mike, I believe he's one of the mods of the esports subreddit, pasted a nice little screen cap from the Capcom stream where they actually went through and post and blacked out the logo entirely. So it looks like he's just wearing a solid black hoodie.
Capcom did that?
Yeah, on the stream there is
That's a dirty move.
No logo at all.
So that's what I'm saying. So I pitched this beforehand, so no one steal it, because it's more ideal. They need to change their name to Upone. It keeps it video game related. It keeps it near their name, so they can still have like that tongue in cheek, but it's completely video game related.
I mean, they won't even take Team YP. I can't imagine they're gonna allow Upone, which actually sounds even closer to what the actual sponsor is.
But YP stands for Upone. Upone is a completely different brand name.
That's true.
It's genius. I'm gonna pitch it to them, and I'm gonna get a free T-shirt out of it.
That's all he wants, YP, is a free T-shirt.
That's all I want. That's all I live for. My entire closet is made up of free T-shirts I get for being in the media, and I just need a new one. So moving on, what I have here. So actually, this weekend, I dipped my toes. I dabbled, if you will, into the world of competitive Call of Duty. The first time I ever decided to sit down and watch professional Call of Duty action. Of course, this is from their World League, which is Activision's sponsored league. And after watching Capcom Cup and World League Call of Duty, I've decided tournaments hosted by the actual developers are way better than tournaments that aren't. The World League was so clean looking and so professionally ran. I mean, it went from match, or a map, I guess, however they word it. They word it from a map to analysts to highlights, and the analysts talking about the highlights, back to the match, back to highlights and more analysis. And just, I mean, it was a functioning operation, and it was a for someone who didn't know what the hell was going on, because I don't play Call of Duty anymore, and I haven't since like Modern Black Warfare Ops 1. Yeah. It was a relief watching it, because I didn't know what was going on, but at least I wasn't also confused with just awful production. So props to them. I can't really talk about a whole lot. I mean, it was the qualifiers. The teams that you thought would go through went through. You had Optic Gaming and NA, Team Envious and things like that. You know, maybe I'll watch more Call of Duty. Probably not, but I'll at least watch it in the sense of, for the World League, it has intrigued me. I want to watch the World League tournaments because Activision put on a very clean looking show.
I can't watch that game. There's no excitement for me. I'm sorry. I can't do it, Call of Duty. I'll move too slow.
I'll watch it for a production value, which is weird considering I think the game is supposed to be really fast. But yes, you are correct in the sense of the action is slow.
Yeah, the action's slow.
But they move fast and there's a lot of jumping, but the action is a little slower. But I have no issue with that. Do you have any other contributions to the micro?
You had some other stuff about Optic Gaming, right? What was that?
Yeah,
esports.
Yeah, the video game awards happen. Take it for what you will. The only reason I really wanted to bring up the gaming awards is because I think they're a joke. they're fan voted. I think fan voting is a joke because all it becomes is people arguing in the end that this team didn't deserve it or that guy didn't deserve it. And it's just one big joke and it's one big, you know, circle jerk of people.
It's a popularity contest.
Yeah, it's a popularity conquest. So Optic Gaming won best esports team of the year. Not saying that they don't deserve it. But Optic Gaming only have teams in Call of Duty and Halo. Two console professional games. You're telling me two console games beat out every other professional
team?
League
of Legends, Dota, two teams. Teams that have, you know, or organizations that have teams in multiple games. And
you're saying the best esports team is Optic Gaming. No, I think that's just because the community behind it is so big and behind Call of Duty.
Right.
But as far as if we're looking at team-wise, no, Optic Gaming, sorry. You don't get my vote.
Who did you vote? Did you even vote?
No,
I went to the website to vote.
And
I mean, people are going to probably think I'm an idiot. I couldn't even figure out how to vote. Like, I saw all the lists. I saw the options. But I was clicking on everything, and nothing worked.
What an old man.
I know.
Can't even figure out the website. CSGO won best game esports. This is all esports related. So CSGO won the best esports game. Whatever. And then Kenny S won the best player. Again, whatever.
The only Kenny S even came out and said, I wasn't even the best player. He said Olaf Meister should have gotten it or whatever, but it's a popularity contest. So
right. And even should Olaf Meister win it? Because you have all those League of Legends and all those Dota players that also do a whole lot.
Yeah.
Again, it's a ridiculous concept for fan voting. And I didn't watch it, but even from what I hear, they didn't even really give esports a whole lot of love anyways, so whatever. Again, we'll wait till next year till they do it all again and we argue with each other over stupid fan voting bullshit anyway.
I guess the final thing I really want to bring up, I actually had two things, but after further research on this Facebook esports summit, it's garbage. People were kind of trying to figure out what it is. And I can tell you by looking at this one Twitter account that has a picture of the agenda, it was Facebook trying to sell esports advertisements on their website.
There you go. So now you're on esports and Facebook and it's all mingling. Lifes are coming together.
That's stupid. MLG CSGO major tickets. If you haven't gotten them yet, 50% sold out of first North American CSGO major, right? Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's going to be
major.
The first NA major. It's a very big deal. It's in Columbus. It's being played at the Nationwide Arena, wherever the Columbus Blue Jackets play. So it's going to be good. They actually moved it. So originally, if you bought tickets to see in-stadium action, it was only going to be semifinals
and finals.
And finals. There was enough...
backlash that they said they want to show the quarterfinals. He said he's trying to show the quarterfinals. Official word has not happened yet. So if you've put your pitchforks away, you might want to like get them out and just hold on to them for just a little bit longer.
I thought I saw the announcement that it was. Or did he just word it?
He worded it
was
like...
Was the title of the post?
So the post was all about, they're going to show quarterfinals. And then you read the tweet and he's like, I really want to do this. Give me a few days to figure it out. Okay. It was total Reddit editorializing, 110%.
He got me with the, I read the title and I moved on.
Right.
I was like, well, that sounds like a great story. All right. Well.
So I have no background in how much these events normally do for the teams. Adam Apicella, which I totally probably butchered his last name, who works for MLG, said that they're going to be giving each CSGO, quote, legendary team, unquote, whatever that means, 10 general admission tickets. So they're not even VIP tickets, which I guess sold out really quickly. I was actually going to try and get a pair of those if I could, but people are kind of upset that that's all they're getting. And I don't really, I mean,
they're 10. What do you want them to have? 30 tickets? Even professional athletes don't get that many tickets. Why do we care? Why do we care how many seats professionals get? I don't care.
I don't know either.
I don't care how much seats JW gets for his family and friends.
But I mean, so that's basically 2 tickets a person per team. And let's be honest. The only reason a North American team is really going to be there is because they're invited because it's in North America. So, I mean, even to like get 2 people over here, $2,000 on a plane and then hotel.
Yeah, I don't think it's so much a concern for the European players because you're right. I don't think they could even, I don't know if the travel would be worth it. I don't know how, I guess that's all situational, family based, but
whatever. Yeah. But
it's really like that's such a minute thing to even care about.
Yeah. But somehow it made the front page of Reddit.
Of course it did. Of course. Well, that's going to just about do it for the show tonight, folks. Episode 12 of TCR, The Center Ring, is in the books. Thank you so much for listening, as always. If you made it this far, or if you just skipped around, I appreciate it all the same. Again, my name is Tim. You can find me on Twitter, at Pirate Mushroom. His name is Brandon. You can find him on Twitter at
Brand Any New ININEW. I changed it.
Wow. Finally got around to updating the Twitter handle. And of course, you can always follow the show at The Center Ring. Get all the latest show updates from there. If we're doing an episode, if we're taking the week off, for whatever reason, you can always follow the show there. Also, tweet at us any questions or anything you might have, some topic thoughts or anything like that. You can always go to our website, tcr.gg. There's a contact sheet there that will get a hold of one of us. You can check out past shows, show notes, anything that you might have missed from previous weeks. Also, I want to do a PSA real quick. I'm going to pop down the music, actually, for this PSA.
Uh-oh.
So it was brought to my attention that on iTunes, on the podcast app, it sucks. Yeah. If for whatever reason you follow the show and you also have it on your iTunes podcast app and you're like, why isn't this updating? You have to play an episode, then back out, and then refresh your podcast list, and then apparently then it will work. If you don't listen to the show for like 2 weeks...
And I literally flipped out at the airport.
Yes, it will like stop auto-updating your podcast list on iTunes. So for whatever reason, if you listen on iTunes, do that and it should work.
And the music's back.
And the music's back, and I'm back on the goodbye spiel. So again, thank you so much for listening. Let us know what you think of the episode. The website's tcr.gg. The show is called The Center Ring. We will be back next week for all the greatness that is esports. Thank you again for listening, and we'll talk to you guys later.